Now, the United States Supreme Court is expected to deliver a ruling on the ongoing Gill versus Whitford case sometime this month. The suit challenges Wisconsin's voting maps and contends that the maps were a result of extreme political gerrymandering. But gerrymandering isn't the only issue that could impact Wisconsin politics this year and into the future. There's also been an influx of outside campaign money and voting law changes that have allegedly impacted turnout in elections. The state of Wisconsin's democracy has been a recent subject of study for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism in its Undemocratic series. Dee Hall is the co-founder and managing editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Dee, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Well, give us the big picture. Tell us about the series you and students have been working on.
Right. So this was a project that was investigated by my students in a 400-level journalism class here at the UW-Madison. We wanted to take a look at some big themes that I had noticed as a longtime reporter here and as a resident of Wisconsin, some changes that I had seen come to the fore that I think were having an impact on the democracy in our state. And so we had six students. We split into five topics, and we brought in a lot of newsmakers to talk to them and give their perspective on some of these issues.
And give us a sense of the breadth of the subject you covered.
So we looked at, our first piece was already released. We released it at the end of last week on wisconsinwatch.org, and that had to do with redistricting. The issue there, of course, is that in 2011, when the Republicans ran both houses of the legislature and the governor's office, they engaged in a admittedly secretive process to redraw the state lines. And according to the plaintiffs in the lawsuit that's currently before the U.S. Supreme Court, it was very distinctly designed to benefit throughout the life of the plan, the Republicans who drew it. And so that was one story. Another story we will be releasing sometime in the next several weeks to months, depending on when we can get them out the door, has to do with campaign finance. Wisconsin has, like many states, been affected by Citizens United, but we also have some unique both law changes and court decisions that have affected the ability of citizens in our state to really know who's paying for these political ads and who's supporting which candidates. So that will be rolling out. We are looking at various ways the legislature hides some of what it does in the budget and other ways from the citizens. And so we're looking at the specific mechanisms that are used there. One story, we just called it We the Irrelevant, which is actually the same name as a local citizens group that started tracking citizen participation in various controversial bills to find out where do the citizens stand and then where do the politicians stand. And it won't surprise you to hear that there's a big gap there on some of the most controversial issues facing the state. And then lastly, we looked at voter ID. So that requirement has been in on again, off again since it was passed in 2011. It's on again now, although there is one lingering legal challenge still out there, but it may or may not be decided before this year's elections.
We'll dig into redistricting in particular in just a bit, but big picture, are we in a different political landscape in some ways than we were, say, 10, 15 years ago with the combination of all those changes you're looking at?
Yeah, definitely in a different place, but I don't want it to sound as though all of these changes came in 2011 when Scott Walker came into the office, or that it's only Republicans. You know, Democrats were given the chance to change our redistricting system when they controlled state government and just did not do it. Now we've heard from Democrats that they didn't do it because it wasn't a big burning issue. Every other time they tried to redistrict, there was a disagreement between the houses or the governor's office, and courts ended up drawing a map that was probably more fair in the end. It just wasn't a big burning issue. But Republicans have staked this out as a very strong issue for them, not just in Wisconsin, but nationwide through a project called Red Map. And that was highly successful. They flipped hundreds of legislative seats in dozens of states and allowed then, as a result of that effort, Republicans to really control redistricting in many parts of the country.
Talking to Dee Hall from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism about a new series on changes to representation here in Wisconsin, to the way we do politics and government. And let's focus in on redistricting and the Supreme Court case. We are waiting each Monday, we're watching for the U.S. Right. Supreme Court to drop its ruling on our case here in Wisconsin. We're not the only game in town, though. There are other redistricting cases around the state. What's going on?
Well, there is a case that the U.S. Supreme Court also took up several months after the Wisconsin case. A little bit of a surprise to people, but it's a case of alleged gerrymandering or gerrymandering by Democrats in Maryland. And so it's interesting to put those two together to try to figure out, is there a way to say when that kind of line drawing is unconstitutional, that it's so unfair toward one particular political party that it simply cannot stand. So I think, you know, the common wisdom is that the U.S. Supreme Court was trying to insulate itself a little bit from charges of partisanship if they were to, for example, uphold Wisconsin's redistricting and then not take up Maryland's redistricting. Would they be seen as favoring Republicans? Or if they overturn our redistricting maps, would they be seen as being partisan toward the Democrats? So this feels like it insulates it a little bit. At least that's what experts say.
Right. I think in your reporting, Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, had said, raised that explicit worry, like, if we rule for the Democrats here, do people view us as a Democratic U.S. Supreme Court?
Right, which seems unlikely to happen. But I think it was, you know, what he's nodding to is it is a very political mechanism. And it is one that has been used very strongly by both parties to maintain their advantage. And any changes that are made could affect one or both parties significantly. And so I think they are concerned about having the appearance of partisanship. Beyond that, the court has previously wrestled with this issue and just simply threw up its hands in earlier cases, trying to figure out, how do you measure what's too unfair? What would a fair measurement be of unfairness? And they were unable to do that. So what we're looking at now is various measurements that have been proposed that would measure what the likely outcome would be under various scenarios and whether one party has a distinct and, like, almost insurmountable advantage based on the way the redistricting is handled.
We've seen rulings based on racial bias, alleged racial bias in redistricting, but this is over partisan bias. And what some people, including the plaintiffs here, are saying is, as I understand it, okay, in the old days, you had a pencil and you were drawing along a map and coming up with the best redistrict you could. Now there are computer programs that can say, okay, what if this neighbor is in this district and their next door neighbor is in the other district? It can get a lot finer. We can try thousands of different permutations to find exactly the thing. When does it become too extreme?
Right. And that's another thing that's new now, even than 10 years ago, and certainly 20 or 30 years ago, is this pinpoint precision that map makers can apply to the task. And so if you look at, we ran a little map of the three of the assembly districts in the Madison area, and you can see just very distinct carve-outs. It's just very Swiss cheesy looking. When, you know, ideally these districts would be rather horizontal or square rather than these kind of raggedy-edged things that you see here and in many other states, including North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Maryland.
We're talking to Dee Hall right now, co-founder and managing editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. She's with us to talk about a new series there called Undemocratic. It looks at political issues like gerrymandering we've been talking about that impact Wisconsin's democracy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the state of Wisconsin politics, how things have changed maybe over the last 10 or 20 years? What would you like to see changed? What do you think about the way redistricting works here, campaign finance, voter ID laws, and more? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about how the state of Wisconsin's democracy is changing in an era of campaign money, dark money, people call it, gerrymandering, and more. Dee Hall is with us, co-founder and managing editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, part of a series there called Undemocratic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about campaign finances or redistricting in the state? And are these issues that you are concerned about, worried about, active on, something that you would base a vote on, maybe, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. To your calls now, Stephen is with us in Madison. Stephen, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to ask, why is it necessary to really change these district lines to begin with? It seems that whenever this issue is brought up, really in any state, it's purely for the sake of political advantage. So I guess in my mind, why even make it a process at all? What's the benefit to it, and why is it necessary?
Stephen, thanks for the call. As I understand it, Dee, we have to, right? I think we're constitutionally required.
Well, we are required. I don't recall if it's the Constitution or a federal law, but what happens is, you can imagine an area like Madison is growing. And you could get to the point where you would have one member of Congress, for example, representing a million people in one place, and then another member of Congress representing, 50,000 people. If you look at what L.A. used to be like, what Chicago, all these big cities, as the cities grow, and they have, and as communities and states grow, the population shifts. And what they're trying to do is have relatively equal representation or number of people per district, both legislatively and in Congress, so that each person, ostensibly, his or her vote counts the same as any other person in any other district.
So that every 10 years we get the census, and then in Wisconsin, whoever's in power in government, if anyone runs the whole show, they are in charge of drawing that map.
Right. And population shifts can be pretty significant. You can lose or gain entire congressional seats based on what the census shows. And so it's important to keep track of that, because otherwise you end up with some states that maybe, 100 years ago had a lot of people in them having more power and more representation in Congress than states that have, like California, that have grown astronomically.
Thanks for that call, Stephen. We'll go next to Randy on the line in Superior. Randy, hi.
Hi. I got a question about why not simplify. Actually, it will clear up who represents me by simply stating it's by counties.
Well, that would be easier. Unfortunately, you've got the same problem there. Milwaukee County has so many more people than Vilas County, for example. And so if Vilas County had one representative and Milwaukee County had one representative, then you would have a grand imbalance in terms of the power of the people in Milwaukee, for example, versus Vilas County. So it sounds lovely and simple, but it wouldn't really work out, I don't think.
Thanks for that call. We heard from Derry on Facebook. An individual's vote, Derry says, does not matter in Wisconsin because of gerrymandering. And we've seen, and you report on this, your team reports on this in the piece on redistricting, D, there is pushback on this. There are movements around the state to try to change the way we do this.
Yes. So there are citizen groups and even national groups coming in to try to push for nonpartisan redistricting, similar to what Iowa does, in which you put the task in the hands of a nonpartisan governmental body. And then you put some restrictions around it. You say, you can't take into account, for example, where the current office holders live. That would be quite an unpopular one, I think, among our legislators and members of Congress. You can't take into account the political, voting leanings of the different districts. They're supposed to be relatively regularly shaped. So those are some of the proposals that people are pushing right now. But, yeah, they're going around and trying to get as many county boards as possible and as many individuals to support that.
Let's bring on another caller now. Paul is with us in Lincoln County. Paul, hi.
Hello. Yes, I am a county board supervisor here in Lincoln County, and my colleague Hans Breitenmoser drafted a resolution which our county board passed, and other counties have picked it up. So there are now 39 counties, I believe, at last count, who have passed on this anti-gerrymandering resolution or some form of it. So counties have continued to pile on, and I think there's probably not been enough publicity, quite frankly, as to what the counties have been doing. And our county passed this thing overwhelmingly. And if you look at which candidate this county voted for in the last presidential election, it voted for Trump, and yet our county board has overwhelmingly voted for an anti-gerrymandering resolution.
Paul, have you heard anything from state lawmakers about your resolution?
Basically nothing. I mean, our two legislators from this particular district, Assembly and Senate, are both Republicans, and they've been absolutely mute.
Paul, thanks a lot for that call. And, do you have thoughts
about
that?
I was just going to ask Paul if he's still on the line.
I am.
What are your thoughts about gerrymandering and gerrymandering? What are the problems that you see as an office holder? And, of course, you have a nonpartisan office, but what are the problems you see?
Well, as far as the county elections go, that is to say for supervisors, I don't see a problem. The problem lies at the level of the state legislature and, of course, of Congress. And, we had, for instance, we had Bill Whitford, who's one of the plaintiffs in the suit that's now brought before the U.S. Supreme Court and for which answer from the Supreme Court we're waiting. And Mr. Whitford came up with a colleague of his, and they very meticulously went through the steps by which the gerrymandering was achieved in Wisconsin and how absolutely devious it was and it remains until it's changed. So including the fact, I think I'm going to guess here at the numbers, in 2014 the Democrats got something like, I don't know, was it 100,000 more votes than Republicans statewide, and yet they only got a third of the assembly seats.
And I'm going to bring you down there. Paul, we just have a few moments left. Dee, any quick thoughts on what he had to say?
No, I think that is the very issue right there, is whether the will of the majority of the voters is actually taken into account, or whether certain voters, depending on their party, are actually not as powerful. Their votes are not as powerful as others.
We'll leave it there for now. Dee, thanks for joining us, and we'll watch for the rest of the series.
Thanks a lot.
That's Dee Hall, Dee Hall, co-founder and managing editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. She joined us to talk about the WCIJ's ongoing series, Undemocratic, which looks at the state of Wisconsin's democracy in an era of redistricting controversies, tighter voting laws, and more. You can follow those stories in the series at wisconsinwatch.org.